If y'all got your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. I want you to give Black Creek another big hand this morning. Sometimes it don't appear like it, but hey, this was not spur of the moment. We've been working on this all morning. Amen. But God's still in control. This morning I want us to look at something here from John chapter 7, verses 1 through 13, and as we jump in here, this is really just kind of an introduction to a sermon from this chapter in the Bible. Today is our summer gospel celebration, amen? We're going to celebrate and worship God, but I just want us to think about some things. I just want to ask you a question this morning. Where is Jesus? When you get up in the morning, amen, Miss Joy. When you get up this morning and you turn on the news or you look at things on Facebook and one thing or another comes along in your life, and even as we're trying to set up the sound and we keep having all these influences from outside the system somewhere here, when we see all these things, often we ask the question, if God's really in control, how come everything goes wrong? If God's really in control, why doesn't He just straighten this out, this mess? Hey, if I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, why is my life not getting easier? The question is, and how many of you ask this, if God's really in control and things are getting this bad, where is Jesus at? Let us pray. Kind Father, this morning I pray just for the next few minutes we can look here, and as we look at this text, we can answer the question, where's my Jesus? And then, Lord, can we just celebrate as we trust in You, no matter what else goes on in our lives this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In this scripture, it says in verse 1 of chapter 7, after these things, Jesus has fed 5,000 people. Jesus has healed a crippled man at Bethesda. Jesus has walked on water. The people have come across there seeing Jesus, and they want a sign. And Jesus says, look, you didn't come to me because you want spiritual satisfaction. You come to me because your belly got full. I gave you the material things you want. That's why you come. So He goes on to tell them that He has been sent from God to fulfill their longing, their hunger, the spiritual emptiness that is in them that they are continually trying to fill with the things of this world. And when He tells them the only way to be completely satisfied is if you eat My body and drink My blood. And that means if you believe in the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, that He came from God, that He lived on this earth the life you should have lived, He went to the cross, died the death we all deserve. He was buried. 3 days later, He was raised for our justification. And now He's ascended to the right hand of the Father, reigning and ruling. You say, well, preacher, it don't look like me. Jesus is ruling too much. Things has just gone haywire. Jesus rules the hearts of believers. Jesus doesn't rule the hearts of unbelievers. That's why we have secular laws. Now, so this is what's going on. And when Jesus told them, here's what you got to do. You got to believe in Me. It says that many of them said, this saying is too difficult. Who can believe this? And they turned away. So He asked the disciples, His 12, right? His closest companions. He says, do y'all want to go away also? Peter says, Lord, where can we go? He says, we have believed and have come to know that You're the Holy One of God. In other words, Jesus, You got the words of life. Where are we going to go? So this is the context of what's going on. Now, text tells us here that Jesus was walking in Galilee. Here's the reason, because He was unwilling to go into Judea. And Judea is the region that Jerusalem's in. It's where David is from. It is where the Messiah is supposed to come from. It is where the religious festivals, 3 festivals a year, are held. And He's unwilling to walk there because the Jews are seeking to kill Him. So the religious leaders want to kill Jesus because He's telling the truth. And He's not willing to go there. And it says, now the feast of the Jews, we'll talk about this more next week. It is the feast of the booths. And it's also called the ingathering. It points forward, according to Zechariah, and we find this in Deuteronomy also. to the end times when Christ will rule and reign and people from every nation will come and they'll worship God in Jerusalem. And it is celebrated once a year out of three festivals. This is the last festival in the Jewish calendar, and it is kind of like the grand finale of we're waiting for the Messiah. The Messiah's coming. When he's coming, he's going to set up his rule and reign. Rome's not going to be in charge no more. We are. All the nations we have in trouble with, people's going to believe in God, and they're going to be coming. Now, wouldn't that be a good time if everybody in Lee County tried to fit in here this morning and worship with us? This is the kind of celebration that they're looking forward to. And so it says his brothers, this is his half-brothers that was born after him, they said to him, "Leave here and go into Judea, so your disciples also may see the works which you're doing. For no one does anything in secret when he himself seeks to be known publicly. If you do these things, you show yourself to the world." For not even his brothers was believing in him. So the reason his brother says, look, you need to go up to Jerusalem. You was popular. Things was looking pretty good for us. We was like, hey, look, he's our half-brother. Things is going good. Now you've run off most of the people that was following you. So look, if you're going to be popular, you need to go on up to Jerusalem ahead of us, and you need to show people what you're going to do. How about us today? Don't we sometimes say, Lord, why don't you just show everybody a sign. Lord, why don't you just let them know who you are? Sometimes God just wants us to stop and believe in him. And so they are telling him to go on up. Why? They want to share in Jesus' glory. And Scripture goes on to say that they weren't believing in him. Verse 6, so Jesus said to them, my time is not yet here, but your time is always opportune. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it that its deeds are evil. Go up to the feast yourselves. I do not go up to this feast because my time is not yet fully come. Having said these things, he stayed in Galilee. But when his brothers had gone up to the feast, then he himself also went up, not publicly, but as if in secret. So the Jews were seeking him at the feast, and were saying, where is he? There was much grumbling among the crowds concerning him. Some were saying, he's a good man. Others were saying, no, on the contrary, he leads the people astray. Yet no one was speaking openly about him for the fear of the Jews. The question this morning is, where is Jesus? And Jesus, it's not on the screen. Jesus, I'm going to say, this, I don't know why we're having so much trouble. Here we go. You ready? Where's Jesus? That's the question they wanted to know. And here's what Jesus says. I'm on my Father's timeline accomplishing my Father's business. When we wonder why Jesus doesn't do something about the world getting worse and worse, guess what he is? He's just doing it on God's timeline. He told his brothers, guess what? I'm not on your timeline. Guess what? The world wasn't created for you. The world was created to worship God, to worship the Father. Why have I come? To restore the worship that sin has broke. Why does the world hate them? Hate Jesus? Because he says, I testify about the world. John 3 says that Jesus came into the world to shine light in the darkness, and the light revealed the darkness of the world, of a system that is estranged from God and God's rule over its life, over control of it. When Jesus exposes your sin, you're uncomfortable. But Jesus says, my time has not yet come. Jesus come to expose our sins, but guess what? God loved us so much that Jesus also come to do something about our sins. Jesus not only exposes our sins, Jesus died to forgive our sins. You know, sometimes when we look around and everything's going wrong, we like to point everybody's problems out. Point out how bad they sin. Look at them. Look what they're doing. You know, we should never point to somebody's sin without pointing them to the cross of Christ. Because Jesus not only come to testify about sin, but also he come to kill sin, to do away with sin. And as we look at this, we see that they were seeking him at the feast. The religious leaders wanted to kill Jesus. The other people, some were saying, well, he's a good man. Look at the things he was doing. And others were saying, no, he's leading them astray. In the world we live in today, more and more people are trying to do away with Jesus and rewrite God's law according to laws that we vote on so that we can call what is wrong right and what is right wrong. And that's prophesied in the Old Testament. So when you ask the question, where is Jesus? He's on God's timeline. Jesus is bringing everything to a conclusion. Jesus is waiting till the Father sends him for his church. When the church is raptured, 7 years of tribulation will come. At the end of that 7 years, Jesus will return. And then this Feast of the Booths will be set up for 1,000,000 years. We will be ruling with Christ. We'll be ruling with Christ, and we will see people from every nation, every tongue, and every tribe bringing worship to God. You know, Jesus said, you go up to the festival, but I'll stay in Galilee. You know, I've always wondered when I read that. Jesus was waiting to go up. It says he goes up in secret. Now, one theological reason there is because it wasn't his time to go to the cross yet. The Jews was going to put Jesus to death. He was going to die on a cross. He knew that. But another reason is he was still drawing people into God's kingdom. I often wonder, when Jesus was leaving Galilee, this is 6 months before the Passover. This is the last time he'll be in Galilee. He's leaving Galilee. Luke says he set his face like flint towards Jerusalem. When he leaves Galilee, he's going to die for our sins. But he says, I'm not going yet. I'm on God's timeline. I always wondered, who was that one person left in Galilee that Jesus was going to invite to join him at the feast? How about you? We often think God is delayed. God might be waiting for that one person that we've been praying for so that they could join us in the millennium and in all of eternity worshiping God. I asked you this morning, that family member, that friend, that person you've been praying for, even that enemy that you can't get along with, Jesus is still in the heart-changing business. And a changed heart changes a life. Will you pray for them? Will you call somebody today and tell them, guess what? Jesus is working on God's timeline. And God's already set a date that Jesus will return. I want you to go with me to the feast. Will you invite somebody today? Let us pray. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I just asked you, do you get discouraged sometimes because it seems like even though you're a Christian that everybody else is getting their way and things are just not going your way? We all think that way sometimes. We all wonder where God is, what God is doing. This morning, I just want you to say, Lord God, I know you're still in control. Lord, I know you're working things out on your timeline. Forgive me for wanting to put you on my timetable. Lord, the time I have left on this earth, help me be about the business of bringing people to Jesus. If you're here this morning and you don't know where you're going to spend eternity, it's this simple. You just say, Lord Jesus, I know I've not been living life your way. Lord, I see the world and I just want what I want. But Lord, I'm empty inside. I know I've not lived life your way. I know something's wrong. Lord, forgive me. I believe you died for my sins, and I'm asking you this morning, just take control of my life and lead me onward and upward. If you prayed that, raise your hand this morning. Amen. Kind Father, We just come before you now, and we thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Black Creek is coming to sing this morning, and as they sing, I want you to think about something. The words of these songs, and as the music itself lifts our heart up, and it draws us up, and the Holy Spirit's lift us up in the presence of God. We want to celebrate today. Y'all say celebrate. Celebrate. Now tell your face. Smile. Amen. We want to celebrate this morning, and as we celebrate to this music, the things that you hear, the things that you remember about how great God is, I want you to share them with somebody when you leave here today. Amen? Amen. Y'all welcome Black Creek.
Be here with you today. God bless you, Pastor. Thank you all ready for a word this morning. You know, I think it was Jim Elliot. How many of you heard of Jim Elliot, the martyr that died overseas? Jim Elliot said, you know, Jesus quoted in that text, the world cannot hate you, but me it hates. He said, because I bear witness of it. Now, New Testament says, if the world hates you, know it hated me before it did you. Jim Elliot said, the world can't hate us. We're too much like the world. We look like them, and we smell like them, and we walk like them. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son. Sometimes, church, we're too busy with our own calendars to look at God's calendar and to invite him. You know, the Apostle Paul, before we sing this next song, can we do the prison song? That I could still go free? Here's a Henson song that says I could still go free. The Apostle Paul, when he was on his road to Damascus, the Bible says that he saw a bright light, and he was knocked off his horse, I guess, and went down to the ground and couldn't see. And the first thing out of his mouth was, who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus, who you're persecuting. He said, what would you have me to do? He said, go to Damascus, and it'll be told you what to do. And I'm just reminding you, church, that it's not just for the Apostle Paul. We are interested in supernatural things. And God knows every hair on your head, every one of you, not just your pastor. Every one of us, every tear we've ever cried, he's got a purpose for them. And God wants to direct us just like he did the Apostle Paul. Paul tried to go into Asia and Bithynia, and the Spirit wouldn't let him go. And then he had a Macedonian vision, and he knew the Spirit of God was leading. And just as the pastor said, if we get in tune with the Spirit of God and let him lead, call unto me, he said, and I'll answer you. And it's not, prayer is not just when I'm calling God, it's when he begins to speak to me. God hearing my voice is not as important as me hearing his voice. Because his voice is what changes things. And he is, church. He's still on the throne today. Thank God he's on the throne. By him, all things consist. They're all held together by him. And one day, we're going to lay this old body down. This body, listen, if you're 8 years old or 10, as my brother Bryce, or if you're 90 years old, life is a vapor. It's going to come and go in a hurry. Have you ever been born again? Listen, church, it's all about being born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's the message we share. The pastor's already shared that I might be born again, that we can see him holy one day. Ralph Waldo Emerson, and we're going to sing this song. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, let me never confuse the difference between contradiction and persecution. Contradiction, if you'll share with your friends what Christ has done, some may not want to hear it. That's contradiction. But few of us know what persecution is in America. We are spoiled people to be truthful. There are places in this world that people die every day for the name of Jesus Christ. Here's a song that Kenny Henson wrote back in the 70s. Is that right? Maybe the 70s or 80s. It says that I could still go free. Now can see. deprive me of the food I eat. Even bind my hands and my feet, but as long as I know Jesus, then I can still go free. That I could still go free. What kind of man would reach down his hand and do this for me? Unworthy to live, I was not fit to kill. And then a man on the cross put me in his will and said that I could still go free. Well, I never could quite understand why a king would want to leave his throne to don the robe of an earthly man, feel the weight of the flesh, flesh and bone, then to later trod a lone path, and it led to dark Calvary, where the blood red stains, they broke all my chains and said that I could still go free. That I could still go free. What kind of man reached down his hand and do this for me? Unworthy I was not fit to kill. And then a man on the cross put me in his will, said that I could still go free, and said that I could still go free. Do this one, wing it without the words. How about that? That'll work out all right. How about something about the blood? You know, churches, a lot of churches are doing away with hymn books that have songs about the blood in them. And it was not just the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ had royal blood in his veins. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And he presented his blood, as our pastor said, at the altar of God. There was a tabernacle and a temple here on earth, but there's a real one in heaven. And there's a man sitting right beside of the Father today. He's the man, Christ Jesus. He's 100% man and was 100% God. And he presented his own blood as a sacrifice for our sins. Here's a song that says, in the shelter of his blood. Wrote a song that says, I thank God for mountains. Anybody like mountaintop experiences? I love mountaintop experiences when God whispers sometimes. But Andre Crouch said, I thank him for valleys and thank him for storms that he's brought me through. Pastor's message this morning was about going through storms in your life. You know, oftentimes, church, we learn through adversity. Whenever things are running smooth in our lives, it's not normally when we learn how to cry out to God or to praise him in the storm. Captain Crown said, I learned to praise you in the storm. I've learned, Paul said, I've learned whatsoever state I'm in therewith to be content. But he had to learn that. You learn it through adversity. And here's what key are we in? We in D. Here's an Andre Crouch song that says, Through It All. I've had many tears and sorrow. Had questions for tomorrow. There have been times when I didn't know right from wrong. In every situation, God gave blessed consolation. My trials come to only make me strong. Through it all, through it all. trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. And through it all, I've learned to depend upon the Lord. Somebody say amen to that. Ain't that right? Well, I thank God for the mountain. Thank Him for the valley. I thank Him for the storms He brought me through. If I'd never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve them. Never know what faith in God could do. How true that is. And through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. And through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon the Lord. Yes, I've learned to depend upon the Lord. Faith was He that begun this good work in you. He's going to bring it to completion. Through it all, He's going to finish what He started one day. You know, Craig, maybe we can speed this up a little bit. Some folks are starting to slide down in their pews a little bit. We're going to put everybody to sleep in here, I believe. Ain't that a good song? Amen. Through it all, we learn to trust in God. Hey, man. Now, listen, we're a little bit different. You said trust the Lord, just let the Lord lead. I want to say something about this next song. I'll have a new body. One day I'm going to have a new body. We're going to lay this body down. Just as sure as I'm standing here today, this right here is going to go back. You know, it's amazing when God created everything. Pastor mentioned this morning, He spoke things into existence. That's how powerful the word of our God is. But when He came to man, He didn't speak man into existence. The Bible says He formed man from the dust of the ground. There was a statue there. He formed him. That word's yotzer, like a potter. He squeezed him, his fingers and his arms and his legs into shape. There was a statue there. And then it says He breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. And he became a living soul. We got a soul inside of us that won't ever die. Man also has a free will. And then, as the Bible says, his death entered into the world by one man. As by one man, sin entered the world and death came through Adam. And so now we have to be redeemed. But the soul is made to live forever. We're created in the image of God. This song says that one day I'm going to lay this old body down and I'll have a new body and a new life. Now, what key are we in on this? We in A flat? Okay, kick it off.
On that resurrection morning, when all the dead in Christ shall rise,
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord,
I'll have a new life.
Sold in weakness, raised in power, ready to live in paradise.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. Well, I'll have a new home,
glory, eternal,
where the redeemed of God shall stand.
No more pain,
there'll be no more strife. Raised in the likeness of my Savior, ready to live in glory there. Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. What a hallelujah morning. the last trump of God shall sound.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord.
I'll have a new life.
Graves all bursting, saints all shouting, heavenly beauty all around.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord. I'll have a new life. I'll have a new home of glory eternal, where the redeemed of God shall stand. No more pain, there'll be no more strife. Raised in the likeness of the Savior, ready to live in glory.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. I'll have a new home, a glory eternal, where the redeemed of God shall stand.
There'll be no more sorrow.
No more pain,
there'll be no more strife.
Likeness of the Savior,
like
ready to live
I'll
in glory.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. I'll have a new home, oh, of glory eternal, where the redeemed of God shall stand.
There'll be no more sorrow,
no more pain,
there'll be no more strife.
Raising the likeness of the Savior,
like
ready to
I'll
be glory
glad. I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
If you start that guitar again, we're going to jump another chord. Right? Wrap that one up. What's he got? What's a song on somebody's mind? How about a verse? Anybody got a word on you? Testimony or something, just let the Lord lead. Let's pray again. Heavenly Father, we've already given you this service, and I thank you for this pastor and thank you for this congregation and for opening the door for us to be here. Lord, these are your people. This is your church. This is your body. And Father, we yield ourselves over to you. Father, take over this service. You already have. We've given you the service and laid it at your feet. And I pray, Father, you would illuminate our minds. Anybody has a word or a testimony or a song comes to mind, Lord, we just follow you that you might be exalted, as we said earlier, and we might be lessened, you might be exalted. Have your way. We plead the blood of Jesus to cover over us. Lord, thank you. Whatever the hum was, we were able to get through. We're just surrendering it over to you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
The world looks upon me as I struggle alone. Well, they say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart I'm rejoicing, how I wish they could see. For your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me. I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
I don't have much money, but Lord, I have you, and to me, that's all that matters, though the world may not see. I thank you, Lord, for your blessings only.
Has he been good to you, church?
There's a roof up above me. I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
Tomorrow. Here, I used to think this was an old hymn, but Bill Gaither wrote this. Of course, Bill Gaither was getting a little gray-headed himself, I reckon. He's been a few years. Didn't Bill Gaither write this? Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Listen, just listen to the words in this. The greatest thing that ever happened to me, October the 3rd, 1986. I was born of the flesh on August 4th, 1963. And then I was born again of the Spirit on October the 3rd, 1986. I've been saved longer than I've been lost. But the Bible says, we, church, that's what we sing about. We were without God and without hope in the world. And, you know, it's, religion says if your good outweighs your bad, that you try to live a good life. God says, no, I require that which is past. And if you offend in one point, you're guilty of all. Heaven's a perfect place. It's for perfect people, but you and I are not perfect people. And that's why Jesus came, and he stretched out his arms, and he died for us. And he rose again the third day. And whoever calls on his name now can be saved. Old things pass away and all things become new. And he's at the right hand of the Father. He's still living. He's making intercession for us. As the pastor says, we come boldly to the throne of grace now because he makes intercession for us. Just listen to the words of this. It'll bless your soul to think about that our Savior still lives. And because he lives, I can face whatever this world has. It may be another breakout of COVID. Or it may make, you know, listen, we don't know what tomorrow brings. Tomorrow may bring adversity again. But whether it's storms in the valley or whether it's mountaintops, God's going to finish in as what he started. He's going to take us home one day. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I don't remember how he's going to do this.
God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds a future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day I'll cross that river. I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know he reigns. because he lives, I can face tomorrow, because he lives, all fear is gone, because I know he holds a future, and life is worth the living just because he lives, because I know he holds a future, and life is worth the living just because he lives.
I told you I wouldn't remember that ending there, brother. What a great song. Amen. What we got? Did I mention? Anybody ever heard of Kyla Rowland? Anybody ever heard of Kyla Rowland? She's written many, many beautiful songs out of Tennessee. Praying Lady. Here's a song that says, did I mention? There's a part in this, we'd say something about every song, but there's a part in this chorus that says, that I worship and adore, and when I can see no way, he makes a way. You know, that's the God we serve when there is no way. The Bible says he calls those things that are not as though they are. You ever been praying about anything and have no way out? And God illuminate his word to you and speak to you? He calls those things that are not as though they are. Listen to this song that says, did I mention that I love him? Did I mention that he's worthy of our praise? Listen to the word.
David sang praises of the glory of Jehovah. Paul preached that all is lost save knowing Christ. Little John said he's precious by leaning on his bosom. So for a moment, may I humbly testify. Did I mention that I love him, how I worship and adore him, when I can see no way, he makes a way. And that's all I want to say. How many sermons can be preached about this Jesus? How many songs can be sung about God's Son? There are not enough words, enough notes in the music to tell the story of all my Savior has done. And did I mention that I love him, how I worship and adore him, when I can see the way he makes a way?
Away.
And did I mention?
back over you like, listen, how about think back when you met the Lord? Some of you can remember. Now, a lot of you can remember the day like I can. Some of you may can't remember. Let me ask you something. Anything in your life ever changed? That's the key. He says it's a personal relationship. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm just saying, church, listen, there are people around our country that go to the church every Sunday that do not understand what the spiritual is. The Bible says a natural man or natural woman or boy or girl does not understand spiritual things. They're supernatural until we're born again. Amen. Looking back over our lives, the song says you think back about all the mountains and valleys. God's been good. Amen. God's been good.
Lately I've been looking back along this winding road to the old familiar markers of the mercies I have known. I know it may more than a cliche. There's no better way to tell you than to say,
playing a harp like this morning? Come on, buddy. It'll bless the Lord if you'll come up here and play. No, you don't feel like it? Can't do it? Okay. You're missing a blessing, Pastor. This little young man right here can wear a harmonica out.
Okay.
But I don't think he's going to feel like it this morning. Okay. So we got one more?
We'll do one more.
Do one more song, Pastor. We're going to turn it back over to you, okay?
Okay.
What we got? Can we say something about this song? Above all powers and above all kings, above all nations, above all created things is our God. You know, the Bible says, Psalms 113, verse 6 says, He humbles Himself to behold the things that are in heaven. Now think about that. The Bible says there are seraphim in heaven. They cry all day and night, holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty. They had six wings, the Bible said. Why do they need six wings? They have two wings to fly, and they have two wings to cover their body, and two wings to cover their face from the glory of the one that was sitting on the front, on the throne. Isaiah said one of those seraphim spoke, and his voice was so powerful that the post in the temple shook. Not the one on the throne. The seraphim was so powerful when his voice, it shook the temple. And yet, our God and our Savior had to humble himself to allow those seraphim to behold his glory. And then he didn't stop there. He kept right on humbling himself. And he became a man like one of us. The Creator became the created. The Bible says that when he walked this world, he says the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests. The Son of Man doesn't have anywhere to lay his head. He was homeless. But he didn't stop humbling himself there. He kept on humbling himself. The Bible says that he humbled himself to the death of the cross. He couldn't humble himself anymore because he yielded himself to the will of the Father all the way down as far as he could go. Why did he do that? The Bible says, church, that he saw joy in going to the cross. He saw joy for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. What was that joy? It was that you and I might go to heaven one day. And that these people that are lost out here around us, that we might have a word of testimony that God would do for them what he did for us. That's what church is about. That's the message we proclaim, is that God, you must be born again, but you can be born again. Because this is the age of grace for what Jesus did for us. Above all powers and above all kings, listen to the words of this song. What key are we in here, be flat?
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders this world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of this world, there's no way to measure what above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all creation. of all wisdom and all the ways of man. You were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders this world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth. And there's no way to measure what you were. Crucified, above all.
Hey, Pastor.
Y'all hold on for a second. Just hold on for a second. Well, I hope y'all enjoyed that. And as John Hagee says, give God a hand in his house. Give Black Creek a hand also. You know, God always shows up even when things start off a little shaky. Amen. I hope these songs this morning has made your heart remember things that God has done in the past in your life. Things that God is doing in the present and things that God will do in the future. You know, Jesus' brothers said, Lord, no one who wants to show his glory would do things in secret. As my brother stated from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, the unspiritual man cannot accept the spiritual things of God. Did you know that God is working all the time and the world doesn't see that? They think it's a secret. But whatever's going on in your life this morning, God is there. You just have to pause sometime and let the noise the culture settle down and ask yourself, is it comfort I need this morning? Is Jesus here comforting me? Is it courage I need? You know, the old song says, the God on the mountain is also the God in the valley. God commanded Joshua, be strong. Be courageous, because your God is with you wherever you go. You know, sometimes we listen when the world tells us that God's not helping us no more. But as Christians, we need just to pause. These songs that they sung, I hope they went deep in your heart. So next week, when trouble comes your way or disappointment, you can recall the words of these songs because they introduced them with Scripture. And all these songs were theologically sound. I want you to share with someone how God's working in your life. It's not a secret. I'm not going to preach, but I just want you to take you to the end of this festival. In 2 weeks, I'll tell you all how the Old Testament worked out this festival. But on the last day, on the seventh day, it's actually 8 days in this festival, Jesus said unto them, in verse 37, if anybody is thirsty, let him come. And if you believe, from your innermost being, rivers of living water will flow. And John says that living water is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who had not come yet because Jesus had not yet been glorified. My brother was quoting from Philippians chapter 2 that said Jesus humbled himself, taking on the form of a bondservant, being found in the appearance of man. And he humbled himself to the point of death, even death on a cross. And then it says, for that reason, God exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. So at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee in heaven, on earth, and under earth would bow and call him Lord to the glory of the Father. You know, one day, sinners and saints, all will bow to Jesus. The gift we have in Christ is that we get to call him Lord today. And when we call him Lord, what Jesus is saying, if you're thirsty, if your life is dry and you're spiritually dry and things are not going your way, come to me. Trust in me and let my Holy Spirit fill in you. And it will overflow to others. You know, when God's working in our life through the Holy Spirit, we're supposed to tell other people what he's doing. You want to really be happy? Tell somebody how God's working in your life. I lost 3 close friends this year. 2 of them real close. 1 of them probably as close as my daddy was to me, just about. And they, 2 of them, they're having a service this morning. They're lighting candles in their memory. But 1 of them, I've never seen nobody so excited to talk about what it was going to be like when he got to heaven. And on his deathbed, he told me, I'm going to get to see Jesus. He hurt, and he was in a lot of pain, and he didn't want to leave his family. But he had the Holy Spirit dwelling in him, and he just wanted to share with everybody around him that he was okay. Because he knew where he was going. That's the life that Christ pours into each of us. Let us pray. This morning, if you don't know the Holy Spirit is in your life, Jesus says it's this simple. If you're spiritually dry and you're thirsty, just ask. Jesus will meet you right where you're at this morning. If you're lonely, he's your friend. If you're sad, he's your comforter. If you're weak, he's your strength. Jesus wants to help you. Just ask, and he will. And when he fills you with his Spirit to accomplish his purposes in your life, let that overflow and share that with somebody else. Kind Father, we just thank you this morning, and I just ask that you be with everyone here. As they leave, I pray that the Holy Spirit will go with them and overflow into the communities, into their homes, into their families, into their workplaces, that others will know that today we have been with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If y'all will y'all sing Happy Birthday and everybody join in to Miss Diana. Happy Birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God. God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you so much. I want to make just a few announcements.